Good afternoon. As I sit here in my office in my home, it's May 4th today, and for all of you Star Wars fans out there, May the 4th be with you. Many questions have come up about this time that's going on. So this is May 4th of 2020, right in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, as the United States and many states around the country are trying to struggle with reopening businesses to get back to normal life. And there's controversy on both sides on how we should do this and when we should do this and whether it's appropriate at this time. Many of my friends and family and colleagues from around the world really have posted things on Facebook and other social media about this event. I think all of us have some kind of opinion. I know I have many opinions, and I'm sure you have many opinions too. But a couple of things have come up that I want to address because they've been on my mind, and as I've read through them, they've settled with me a little uneasily. And that is the end-time prophecies of God as it relates to the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are many things that are discussed, but some of the ones that are foremost on my mind is the mark of the beast, as we have seen some conversation around that. The thief in the night, or how the Lord will return like a thief in the night. And then wars and rumors of wars, as we find out in the book of Matthew or the Gospel of Matthew. We do find out all kinds of things throughout the book of Revelation, although Revelation is so hard to really follow and it's so full of imagery. Sometimes we have to be real careful not to take things literal out of Revelation. But one thing in Revelation is a third of the population and a third of the fish and the creatures and everything will be killed in the end times. And then also, in all of this, I want us to keep in mind, or I like to try to keep in mind, the image of the watchman from Ezekiel 33 and being prepared and being ready for this time. So I wanted to go through a few scriptures and just kind of talk about a couple of things. First, I really want to talk about this mark of the beast and what it is. There's been a lot of comments about this really through my whole life. I've heard friends and neighbors talk about what the mark of the beast is for years and years. Some people have said, well, they thought it was a Social Security number that all Americans have. But I think the mark of the beast is probably going to be something bigger than what one country implements. There have been people that talk about credit cards and credit, which is more of a global phenomenon, of course, but that seems to be a little bit of a far-fetched guess as well. And now, with this renewed effort of trying to vaccinate and cure people of COVID-19 and to make sure you have the antibody, of course, there's been the conversations that people have associated with Bill Gates about putting something in the hand, a microchip in your hand that would carry medical information. And of course, you could carry in on that microchip whether you have antibodies for COVID-19 or you've received the vaccine, all of these things. And there are some people saying, watch out, this is the mark of the beast. So I want to look at a couple scriptures real quick just to talk about that. In Revelation 13 and verse 7, it says, "It, the beast, and this is the beast of the sea, was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Now, we could go into a long story about what having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life means, whether we're talking about predestination, whether we're talking about once saved, always saved, whether these are people who are still living, whether these are people who have already died and are considered the saints. I don't want to get into that conversation. I just want to identify, first of all, what this first beast is. But do remember, there are two. And the second one is found later on in Revelation 13. We're going to pick it up mid-story in verse 16, where it says, "It also forced It, the beast, also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark." So this is where the whole fear around COVID-19 and the mark of the beast is coming. If we put that microchip in our right hand, you can't go outside. You're going to get that scanned before you can go on airplanes, potentially even before you could even go into grocery stores and buy things anymore. So there's some hysterical people out there that are thinking this is the mark of the beast. Well, maybe. I don't ever want to come out and say this is absolutely not the case and this is not true, but I do want us to look at it a little deeper. And to do that, you need to go one chapter further in Revelation, and it's Revelation 14, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 9, and it says, "A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's wrath.'" So this is what I really want to point out about the mark of the beast. It seems to me that people who are so afraid of this mark of the beast feel like they may be tricked into getting it. They feel like it's going to be something that comes upon them without them even knowing it, unless they're real careful to watch the signs and watch the news and watch everything that's going on in this world. But it says right here, it says, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead and on their hand." You know, we serve a God of love and grace, and I don't believe that He will hold us to something that we were tricked into getting. If we are living our lives and the world we live in, the country we live in, decides that it is prudent for all of us to have a mark on our hand to show that we can no longer be infected by a certain type of virus. And that's put there in good conscience. It's put there to help mankind be healthy and stay healthy from this virus. It's not put there because it's a sign that you worship the devil. It's not put there to say that you've denounced Jesus Christ. It's not put there to say that you are going to break all of God's laws and commandments. It's put there to show that you are healthy. It would almost be like seeing the vaccination that many people had early on in the 1900s of 20th century for the smallpox, a little circle on the shoulder. I'm too young to have gotten that vaccination, but I know that I've seen people with that vaccination on their shoulder. It would be akin to that. And I don't think that God is a God that is going to say, "Oh, shame on you. You got this mark on your hand, and that happened to be the mark of the beast, and you were tricked, so therefore, no kingdom of God for you." I just can't believe that that is the type of God we worship. Now, if it comes with denouncing of Jesus, or it says, if you receive this mark, you can no longer go to your church, or if any of those types of things, if it's tied together with a loss of your moral freedom to be able to worship and to acknowledge your God and your Jesus Christ, then maybe we should be concerned. So I don't think this is a time of the mark of the beast. I don't think that's what it is. It is a global type thing that's being discussed, although the United States is kind of forefront on that, but there's many other countries that are discussing it. And it bears watching. I think it's important that we keep an eye on it, but I don't think that it is something that we are that it is the mark of the beast at this point. And I don't think it's something that we need to really have panic over. The other major thing that has come up with this is the thief in the night. And again, I don't think that this global pandemic that's happening is the end times. I just don't think it is. But one thing that comes to mind here is the thief in the night. I know as I grew through my adolescence and my early adulthood, I often wondered, how would the end time come? How would it come like a thief in the night? How could there be some people who are so blind and so unaware that Jesus could actually return? And they not even realize it. And then this pandemic came on us. And if you guys can remember this time and remember back to from the United States perspective and the Europeans perspective, back in the January timeframe of this year, it was, something going on in China. And then it grew, and through February, it was something kind of going on in China, and a few cases, but probably not going to be a real big deal in Europe and the United States. And then we get to the end of February and March timeframe, and it explodes all over the world. And it happened in like what seems like a blink of the eye. We went from never even understanding or ever even heard of coronavirus or coronavirus 19 or COVID-19 or novel coronavirus or whatever you're calling it, to all of a sudden It's a world pandemic. And what this has taught me is that it gave me more confidence and more belief, a deeper belief that Jesus coming like a thief in the night has real implications. And it's something that could really happen. And so I think about that and I apply what's happening now to this situation. I don't think this is the thief in the night. Obviously, we haven't seen Jesus return, but I can see a little bit more into God's plan on how that could happen. And so I actually take a great deal of comfort, and it has helped my faith to be able to witness this event and to be able to see part of how God's plan can play itself out in the future. Again, guys, not trying to say here that this we aren't in the end times, because we very well could be. As we read in Matthew 24, and starting in verse 6, it says, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come." So we constantly have rumors of wars going on in this world for the last several decades, really of all my life, the Cold War. And now it appears that maybe after this pandemic is over, there may be another Cold War between Europe and the United States and China, because of the way that the West has viewed the release of this virus by the East. And I don't want to get into, what my opinion is on that or whether that's right or wrong, but I do believe it is, there's a Cold War starting already based on this virus and the pointing of fingers. And in verse 7, it says, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." This earthquakes in various places, we all know how earthquakes happen, based on plate tectonics and the way the earth works. But we now have more sophisticated systems to show us earthquakes in diverse places. So we see them in more places than we ever did before. And because of fracking and because of other things we've done to the Earth's crust, there are earthquakes that happen outside even of the plate tectonic movements. For instance, in Irving, Texas, there have been quite a few, and some people believe it's because of, the work they're doing. Some people believe it's even because of the destruction of a big football stadium that happened there. But anyway, there have been quite a few more earthquakes in different places that we are aware of. In verse 8, it says, "All these are the beginning of birth pains." 9, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." I don't think we're there. I don't feel like I'm hated by all nations at this point. I feel like that I'm a pretty accepted person because of my beliefs. "At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many." And this is really something I want to point out. Guys, if you're hearing people say, "Watch out for this thing in your hand, it is the mark of the beast." If you're hearing people say definitively, "This is the end times," then be careful that they're not a false prophet. Don't let them lead you down a path fearing that this is the end, and then when it doesn't come to fruition, you lose all of your faith. False prophets will come, they will appear, and they will deceive many. Don't let it be you. "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." Now, this is something that's happening now because of our social distance. There has been a little bit of a thawing out or a freezing of one's love toward one another. I know there's been a lot of outreach and things too, but one of the symbols of love in this world, and when I talk about love, I'm talking about friendship love from one to another, is to be able to receive each other with a hug and a kiss on the cheek. And there's not a whole lot of that going on in this world right now. "But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Guys, there's one way to stand firm to the end. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. He is your hope. He is your salvation. He is your focus. "And this gospel of the kingdom," this is verse 14, "will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Revelation talks about a third of the population dying. Whether that means a global thing or whether that's a regional thing that John was pointing out in the book of Revelation, I don't know. But I do know in Ezekiel chapter 33, it tells us to stand firm. It tells us to listen to God's warnings. It tells us to listen to the trumpet sound. And if you hear it and ignore it, shame on you. But if you hear it and acknowledge it, you are to be considered one of God's people. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Stay safe. Stay diligent. Study. Sure, look at things in the news like putting a chip in your hand and determine whether you think that is something that would be contrary to your faith and your moral judgment. But don't let people lead you down a path. Don't let false prophets come into your life and scare you into thinking that this is the end times, that this is the mark of the beast. The mark that we're looking for is the love of Jesus Christ. And as long as you keep that in your heart, and as long as you keep that nearby, really you're fine. Because the one who stands firm in Christ, as it said in Matthew 24, will be saved in the end. It is that one, it is those people who Jesus will come and get. And it is those people who will be there in the end, who will be saved from God's wrath, and as Revelation says, from the wrath of God's wine. Thanks be to God that He is so gracious to us.